If you have a Bible with you this morning, if you turn with us over in the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 6. 2 Kings, chapter number 6. We'll stand, honor the reading of the Word of God if you can and are able today. If you enjoyed the good singing, say amen. Appreciate the sweetness of the Lord. I'm glad we have no apologies here for being old-fashioned. 2 Kings chapter number 6, verse number 1. The Bible said, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now," you can underline that, we'll be dealing with that shortly, "now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us," or too narrow. "Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, take thence every man a beam. Let us make us a place." You ought to thank God there's been some folks that's had a vision to make you a place. You ought to thank God for some people that's made an effort to make you a place. I like this congregation, "Let us make us." Everybody was involved. I will say here today, there are no big ones, no little ones, contrary to your thinking. Maybe the devil's put something in your head that you're non-existent and you're not needed. But let me tell you are needed here. Maybe the devil's put in your head that we can't get along without you, but I'll let you know we can. Amen. And I can guarantee you, honey, what we need is the Lord here. So every what direction your head is headed, I'm telling you, there's common ground there. Everybody can be somebody in the house of God. He said, "Let us make us a place there that we may dwell." And he answered, "Go ye." And one said, "Be content, I pray thee, and go with us. And go with thy servants." And he answered, and he said, "I will go." So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe had fell in the water, and he cried, and he said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." The Bible said, "And the man of God said unto him, Where fell it?" And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, "Take it up to thee." And he put out his hand and took it. Thank you for standing this morning. Father, we love you and thank you for this time together. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God that's moved in our service already. Thank you, Lord, for the songs of Zion that's been sung. Now, Lord, I'm a needy preacher today. I sure do need you to help me. Lord, my heart is overwhelmed at what you've done for me. My heart is overwhelmed for what you've done for a people in this place. Thank you that you're still a God that we can experience. Not a God that we have to read about, but thank you, you are a God that we can know today. Help us now in the preaching. I'll be grateful. I'll be careful to give you the honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. The Bible said, verse 5, as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell in the water, and he cried and he said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." I guess there's a lot of titles that you could put on this message. A lot of you need to hear some preaching on flying off the handle. Somebody say amen right there. Then I guess I could preach on how to get it back. Some of you need to get in on that today. But I do want to preach on this common thought in this text and passage on, have you lost your cutting edge? Have you lost your cutting edge? There's a lot of churches that have lost their cutting edge. There's a lot of preachers, they've lost their cutting edge. And there's a lot of Christians, they've lost that cutting edge. Now I want to say, I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not, but right above this passage in 2 Kings chapter number 5, I really never noticed this, just studied it out this morning. There we find out Naaman the leper. Remember, there's a little maid that was held captive in Syria. And she said, I wish that my master knew about a man back in Israel. In other words, she said, I know a man that can. And that man is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the God-man. There's nothing too hard for our God today. And so the Lord used this little maid to reach in Naaman's life. He came on the front porch of Elisha. Elisha told him, go dip in the River Jordan, a picture of Calvary, 7 times. Long story short, he went. But there's something in the passage. Gehazi was a servant of Elisha. Gehazi realized that Naaman was a man of great fortune and fame. And so what Gehazi did, he tried to take advantage of Naaman and his royalty. He went back after he had got cleansed as a little child on his way home. Elisha had went back into the chamber. Gehazi, being the servant of the man of God of Elisha, went and told Naaman, he said, the man of God has sent me after you that you would send us back a wedge of silver and some of your belongings. He said, man, I'll do better than that. I'll send 2 back with you. I'm going to send so much that you can't haul it all. We're going to bring it back to your house. And Gehazi went behind the back of the man of God, and he thought nobody was looking. So they come back to Gehazi's house. Those servants from Naaman unloaded their wealth and fortune there. The Bible said in verse 25, when Gehazi went back in 2 Kings 5, said he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? He said, thy servant went no whither. He said unto him, went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? He said, is it time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? Man, I'm going to tell you, Naaman must have loaded him up with a lot of fortune. The Bible said now that Elisha said, the leprosy of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Now watch this. Got 2 thoughts right there. Now get on in the preaching. Number one, the Bible said when he went in and stood before his master, you better not forget this. There's a payday coming someday. You may live like the devil this morning, but you better realize there's a settling up day and our master knows what we've been doing this morning. You may think you've been doing it behind his back, honey, but there's a God that's got an all-seeing eye. He knows where we live. He knows where we play. And he knows what we're doing. And there's nothing that's hidden from the presence of the Lord. There is a payday someday, the Bible said, and the leprosy of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and thy seed forever. Hey, sir, it does matter how you act because it may affect the seed after you. Up to the 4th generation. I'm fighting devils this morning that my great-grandpa invited into his house. And honey, let me tell you something. Them devils, it's hard once you open the door to get the door closed. Them devils of our forefathers, it bothered them. What you think happened to them devils when your forefathers died? They didn't die too. They just lived on to torment me and you. So we better watch how we live, and it's going to affect the generation coming after us. And all of a sudden, watch this. He went out from his presence, a leper, white as snow. And here it is. I told you to underline. I loved it. Chapter 6, 1. Never had noticed it till this morning. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with these two straight for us. What happened? The spirit of Gehazi was gone. And I'm going to tell you what's holding a lot of churches back from doing something for God is the spirit of Gehazi. Just getting out of Jesus what they can get out of Him. If He's got to pay you to serve Him, you don't love Him, friend. Hey, He's looking for more than a fan. He's looking for a follower. Some of you ought to get in this thing with both feet this morning and quit playing church, hallelujah. There's a God that hung on the cross that died for you, and there's coming a payday coming someday. A lot of people think they're doing something behind God's back. Reminds me of a lot of preachers. If a big shot walks in, they want to go in and get real friendly to him. Honey, I want to report in to you this morning. You don't keep the lights burning at Liberty Baptist Church. There's a God in heaven turns these lights on. Amen. You may think, honey, we can't get along without going on. But let me tell you, there's a God in heaven was here before we ever got here. Would somebody help a country preacher preach on a Sunday morning? I'm so tired of preachers hobnogging and being politicians instead of preaching what God told them to preach. I'm not interested in getting into your pantry. I'm interested in getting your kids out of hell. Some of you need to get your eyes off of assets and remember there's coming a day you're going to stand before the Master and the cover's going to be pulled off of it that day and you're not going to buy your way into God's place. The Bible says you must be born again. I want to ask you if you lost your cutting edge. The Bible said, number one, and the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with these two straight for us. Let us go, we pray thee, to Jordan. Take thence every man a beam. Let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. Number one, you'll notice there was room. I'm glad we can make more room for Christ. Amen. Now there's no doubt. If somebody won't preach in this morning, you got your mind on the fire grill. Where are we at today? Help me preach a while. Would you get involved in preaching? Amen. I'm going to tell you what. There was somebody wanting to make more room for God. The place that had got too small for him from the spirit of Gehazi had left. And I'm going to tell you, that spirit kills churches. That spirit thinking there's somebody that they're not supposed to be. Let me tell you, Liberty Baptist Church, it's God. It'll always be God. It's always going to be God. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. I'm glad we don't have a program. You say, preacher, you need a program. I got a program. It's a King James Bible. And it's a working pretty good. And he said he chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. And thank God we can make more room for Christ in a dark and a dying world. Now the place that they got, they said since the spirit of Gehazi's gone, it can get big around here. I went to church with them Gehazis. Thought it was their pew, their parking space, their organ, their piano, their pulpit. Honey, let me tell you, y'all don't want no preaching this morning. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be in hell today, friend. We have no room for the spirit of Gehazi. Going behind people's back, trying to make something out of something it ain't never been. Boy, I'm going to tell you, God deserves all of our honor and praise. And when that crowd got out of town, God could do something. I can tell you the reason God ain't a-doing more because it's a crowd a-holding Him back. Amen. They don't want God's preacher to preach what thus saith the Word of God. Look up here, get you some preaching. I don't mean to be mean preacher this morning. I'm going to lay it out right where it's at, honey. There's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shine. And you better turn from your wickedness or hell to be your home. God don't pet around on sin. God don't play with sin. God ain't fooling around with you raising your babies. You better raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. There's a family, young boy come grab me at the altar a while ago and said, I love you, preacher. I said, son, I'm praying God will do something with you in your life that'll do big things in Bowden, Georgia.
I don't know about y'all, honey, but I'm a feeling old this morning. We soon to cross out of this place, and we need somebody to know something about what we're doing this morning. By the grace and the mercy and the long-suffering of God, help us to make more room for Jesus this morning.
They said, boy, it's done got too narrow around here. Old Gehazi had that spirit on us. They said, it's done loosened up. Now we ain't got a vote on getting bigger. Somebody say, uh-oh, somebody say amen right there. Praise God. And I like what one of them boys said. They said, okay, then every one of us, we're going to go do our part. And all of a sudden, one of them said, hold on a minute. Are you going with us? Elisha, are you going with us? Because if you ain't going, honey, we ain't building no building. There'd be some crowd at Liberty Baptist Church saying, we fixing to build that new wing on the east side toward the Atlanta side, but preacher, you stay over there where you was. Honey, let me go on and mark her down this morning. Without the Word of God preached in the power of God, it'll be another empty building. Hallelujah. He said the smartest thing he ever said. I didn't realize the reason we blessed because there's a man preaching the gospel and I want you to go with us. And if you ain't a going, I ain't a going. Hallelujah. Some of them say, leave him over there. We'll get a drama team, draw a crowd. Leave him over there. We'll go contemporary. We'll go to sing an achy, breaky heart. Leave that old leather tongue and I show that. One of them said, oh no, whatever you do, if the man of God said we ain't going, we ain't going. Hallelujah. But if you going, we going with you. Glory to God. Would somebody go with the man of God? Would somebody go with the man of God? Would somebody want the man of God? Would somebody appreciate the man of God? Gehazi's gone. We can do something now. Praise God. Brother Felton, I'd run through them beaches. Gehazi's gone. Let's do something for God now. Oh, Gehazi, have you reporting into him? You know what he was? He was a phony baloney. He was a fake. We've got enough phony balonies in the church house running around with the man of God. It's time, sir, for you to pull the mules back on the ear and say, this is the way it's going to be, glory to God. Sometimes you got to grab the mule by the ear and say, whoa, Jack. I tell you what I've seen my grandpa do. I've seen my grandpa say, okay, you won't listen. He'd pull the ears back on the mule. He'd take and he'd put his ear in his jaw to them, back down with them canines. He'd say, hee-haw, hee-haw, hee. That's what some of y'all need some canine holes in your ear. Make you holler real good. They said, we not a go unless you go. Boy, I'm glad we ain't got a deal. But the spirit of Gehazi, phony baloney, trying to make out he's something when he's really living a lie. That's got to be an awful lifestyle. Let me tell you something. Living for God's hard enough without being a phony. It would have to be miserable pretending to be something and you're happy at it. But I'm going to tell you, I'm glad I'm a child of the King. I'm glad one day God saved me and lived in me. And I'm a new creature in Christ. Yes, I make mistakes, but I got a Holy Ghost lives in me and tells me when I'm a doing wrong. And I thank God for that kind of salvation this morning. Boy, we see this all of a sudden, there's room. The Bible said that there was dissatisfaction. It was too small. I wish I could see some of y'all and your pew get too small for you. You go to standing up doing a holy dance. See, dancing's all right as long as you'll do it praising Him. I'd stay out of the nightclubs where them critters live, but honey, you come to the house of God, David did. Not many people liked his dancing and praising, magnifying the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, God sure did like it because He wrote it down in His Bible to tell us about it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I was on that bush hog yesterday. The devil knowed he was putting that golden rod in my voice and that ragweed so I couldn't preach hard this morning. But I'm going to do sign language if I get this sermon preached. You see, you'll notice there was dissatisfaction, then there was a desire. I want to ask you something. Do you have a desire? Do you have a desire to move out from where you are with God? Are you just happy straddling the fence? That's got to be a miserable place for a child of God. There's nothing like being in the will of the Lord, walking in His fellowship, and there's nothing no more miserable for a child of God to being way out yonder in the world. See, you're a miserable human. You're out there with them, but you don't fit in with them no more. And you're away from God, and you're miserable because you're away from Him. The only practical place you can be that brings joy, happiness, and satisfaction is at the feet of the Lord Jesus. You lost your cutting edge. Notice the room. Then, not only their dissatisfaction and their desire, but look at their direction in verse number 2. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan. Jordan's a picture of Calvary. I'm going to tell you, the church will never get wrong enlarging toward Calvary. Oh, how we need to get back to the old paths of the preaching of the Word of God, where Jesus died for sinners. And the cross is magnified, and the blood of the cross is still saving. Thank God for the call of the cross, the preaching of the cross. They said, listen, let's go toward Jordan. Let's make it big around here about Calvary. That's what we need to be doing, making it big around here about Calvary. Honey, it ain't about one family, and it ain't about one preacher and his personality. It's about the God of heaven that sent His Son and died on an old rugged cross that we could go free and go to heaven one day. There's room. Number two, there was responsibility. In verse number 2, let us go, we pray thee, into Jordan. Take thence every man a beam. Let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. Now look at the responsibility. First of all, it takes people. It's got to be a mutual assistance. One can't do it all. Our situation here, we've got so many offices in place, nobody else thinks they can do nothing. If you want to do something for Jesus, there's plenty of jobs here for you to do. Matter of fact, about a fourth of you could go around and teach the other two-thirds how to smile. And then we could use about a third of you standing at that back door with preacher and miss preacher reminding people as you come out the door that we've been to church and not to a social club, and that's why you got preaching there this morning. Some of you need to be reminded about what's supposed to go on in church. Some of you've been in a dead church so long you don't even know what church's supposed to be. Singing, preaching, loving one another. You know something? If you'd let your head leak, it wouldn't swell near as bad. Get in the altar and get some help for your life. The altar alters people. There was responsibility before this group went anywhere. They had to realize one couldn't do it. They had to go together. Now, it takes people. Verse 2, it takes praying. Let us go, we pray thee. Two of our prayer warriors are out this morning. I can tell they're out of our service. I'm going to tell you, I miss people that pray. Boy, how we need praying back in our country. How we need praying back in our school. Young people, school's just started. You ain't got to take prayer out of school, honey. Pull your spot out and go to praying to the God of glory. He'll hear you in the schoolhouse this morning. It takes people, it takes praying, it takes planning. There's going to Jordan. And it takes a principle in verse 2. Every man a beam. It involved work, a united effort. Why don't you get involved in where you go to church? We live in a culture and a society. You're all caught up in everything but what you ought to be caught up in. And that's church. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. My. It takes principle. And then it takes purpose. Look where it said, where we may dwell. In other words, we don't want to hit and miss. We want to go to church there. Let me tell you, I don't know of a better place to get tied into is the house of God, where old-time worship's going on, preaching and singing the old-time songs for the glory of God. I mean, that's what we need to get hooked up in, go to dwelling in. Amen. It ought to be a big part of our life. And then number three, not only is there room, there's responsibility, but you'll notice there were some resources. In verse 5, the Bible says one was fell in a beam, the axe head fell in the water, and he cried and said, "Alas, Master, for it was borrowed." Now, notice the needs of it. We don't have it long. It's a gift. God gave you something specifically to work with. And God has entrusted you and me with it. And I want to remind you of this. We've got to have it. Can you imagine this? "Brother Larry, did you come in on your cane today?" I was thinking, I know Brother Jeff, you got your stick today? You got your stick today? Let me. Where's it at? Hold it to me. Now I want to ask y'all something about the needs of it. If this was an axe handle and the head was gone, how goofy would you look trying to chop wood like this and people come by and look at you in the yard and say, "What's he doing?" Said, "I ain't got a clue what he's doing." I know a lot of preachers lay up. Ain't nothing on the end of it. I know a lot of Christians come around an altar, but it's what I'm seeing. I see a lot of people leaving Liberty Baptist Church, going to your respective places. This is what I see a lot. You still running with that old crowd. You still telling their old joke. You still drinking their beer, smoking their weed, going to their nightclub. There's something wrong with that get up. Pretty good axe handle. I may need it at the door this morning. The needs of it. And then, did you notice the news of it? It come off. Now, I've got something that I keep close to me. I keep a rooster that crows. Any preacher that's really preaching, he needs a rooster that'll crow. Every time he goes off out there at the bar and I stand and teach, I say, "Yes, sir, Lord, I'm a-listening." But I found something, Brother Gerald, that's really got close to my heart. There's a man put it in this piece of walnut wood for me. And it says, as one was fell in the beam, the axe head fell in the water. He cried and said, "Last Master, for it was borrowed." Now I want to ask y'all something. Some of the men, I've looked at that. That's an old forged head. That head's probably 200 years old. I want to ask you something about the news of it. It come off the handle. I wonder how it come off the handle. I've noticed this, cutting wood, Brother Randall. You're a country feller, been with me a long time. You ever notice when we go to chopping wood and cutting with an axe, we'll feel it when it gets loose. And the problem is, if you don't stop and tighten up what's got loose, then this is what you're going to have left. That's just like our church. You can get a little wind, the contemporary come in and go to get a little loose on the handle. And before long, the handle's out and you've lost your cutting edge. I can tell you one thing that I applaud this man about. The Bible said that his was felling. It came off the handle. And as soon as it came off the handle, you know what he done? He cried to the man. He cried to the man of God, "Alas, Master, for it was bar." Let me tell you something. It ought to affect us when the handle goes to getting loose. It ought to affect us when we quit chopping the way we used to be chopping.
I'm not talking about hurting people. I'm not talking about being mean. I'm talking about living a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to do nothing without this. What is this? It's the power of God. No Christian's going to go any further in life, in ministry, in home, without the power of God. And how many times have we hit that log and we felt the handle get loose and we left it alone? When we hit it the next time, it flew off the handle. But I will give him credit. It affected him and said, "Alas, Master, for it was borrowed. I realize I can do nothing without you." My grandpa could fix an axe head pretty good. I've seen him do it. He'd take a bucket of water. He'd stick that axe head on that bucket of water and he'd leave it there overnight. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm going to let it soak in, get real juicy. And then I'm going to put the handle back on it. And then I'm going to drive a wedge in the top of it and it'll be fixed when it gets all dried out." Wouldn't that be a blessing this morning if God would take your life and put the handle back in it? Matter of fact, I want to say this right here real quick, then I'm going to move on because I'm about done. You better get a handle on what you're doing. You better get a handle on what you're doing. Some of you young'uns, you better get a handle on that smart mouth you got. Hold that. Ain't it amazing when a young'un gets 13, they start getting a head jerk? Say, "Man, you got fever with that?" No, you're not going. What you need to do is say, "Booyah! Booyah!" Lord, you'd give them a heart attack. Go get the necktie and whoop him. Boy, my daddy'd take time out. He'd take time out to tear the back porch down with you. And that's what we're missing. You better get a handle. What you doing? Boy, I've noticed in our life, Brother Mike, there's no telling how much wood that old timer busted with that. But I can tell you two reasons why he's not busting with it today. Number one, he could be in heaven. Number two, it's off the handle. Either one, he's quit. I said all that to say this, we're not getting no younger. It ought to bother us, we've lost our cutting edge. Did you know at Pepsi-Cola, and I'm not bragging, I stayed there 24 years and a half. I never had to put a sign around my neck and tell them I was a Christian. When we was at an event or a party, they knowed who I was. I didn't have to sit there with a sign and say, "I'm not drinking your booze. I'm not telling you jokes. I'm not smoking your weed. And I'm not going to your party after hours." You know, it comes a time in your life, you just got a purpose like Dan. You got a purpose in your heart that you're going to stand and do right. And I'm going to tell you what, Liberty Baptist, there's a lot of things I can afford, but I can't afford to lose my cutting edge. You listen to me, church. I'm looking forward to it and I dread it too. But I know it's God's allotment in my life and this church's life that wall will leave out here. I know that. I understand that. But it's a price to pay. Miss Sherry, would you come? There's a price to pay. You see, they all got together and they said, "You know what? We've all got to do our part. You know, we pay a housekeeper here to keep the house. But you know what? You ought to help him keep it. We pay folks here to cut the grass, but you ought to help them keep it. You ought not throw your trash down outside. This is God's house. It ought to be the prettiest place in town." Let us go and build us a place. Is anybody interested in making room? This is what he done.
Maybe I preach it tonight, but you see, before they went over there, what they didn't realize, they was going to need that old preacher. Because he said, alas, master, for his borrowed. He said, well, where'd you lose it? Where fell it? They showed him the place. Do you remember the place in your life where you lost it? Well, let me tell you what you can do. You can say long prayers. You can give all your money. You can work your finger to the bone. It ain't going to fix nothing till you correct where you lost it at. I realize you can't go and redo some things, but I tell you what you can do. You can learn from it and do some things over. By one person, the work stopped. Brother Mike, I know this ministry don't rise and set on me and you. I know that. I know that. Brother David, you and Brother Tim, I know. I know. But I can tell you this, fellas. Brother Mike, Brother Randall, Brother Adam, Brother Jason, Brother Randy, Brother Jason, all of you men that are in leadership in our church, when one man flew off the handle, it stopped the work of everybody. And I'm going to tell you, Ken Bowman's life can't affect this ministry. Your life can affect this ministry. Remember the last place you seen it? There's nothing like having the Lord on you. And there's nothing as bad with Him off of you. I'm glad they brought Elisha with them, Brother Mike, because he brought it within reach. You do need an old-fashioned preacher. When we go out there, you do need an old-fashioned preacher. Yeah, you need an old-fashioned preacher to show you where you've lost it. But I noticed something about this fella. He had to reach his hand out and take it. And you know what? You say, well, preacher, how did he restore it to him? He restored it to him with a stick. I'm glad the cross is still working. I'm glad the cross still has power. The Bible said he cut a stick, put it in the water, Jordan, and the iron did swim. I realize the cross makes a miracle today. Wouldn't that be a great day that God would give you your cutting edge back? Can you imagine? This is what I can't imagine, Brother Mike. Sitting in the ranks of men like what's in our church chopping. And all of a sudden, I didn't have that edge no more. That scares me to death. You know, Brother Adam, you know what really bothers me is when these babies come up giving this bucket and they grab me around my breeches leg and they say, preacher. That scares me that I would lose this edge. You might as well get over this. You're not going to make everybody happy if you're carrying an edge. But if God's smiling on you, that's all that matters. Liberty Baptist Church, the men of Liberty Baptist Church, would you listen to your preacher just a minute? Let me open this altar. Do you need anything this morning? Young ladies, you better get a handle on what you're doing. Sir, you better get a handle on it. Whatever you need in your life this